Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
And so we need to look at this whole passage as one of saying that if you're sick, examine yourself because it may be because of sin. Have you confessed all your sins? Do you know that you're right before the Lord? And so we need to do that. We need to pray fervently with all our might. Confess our sins. Pray in faith. And so we need not underestimate the importance of praise, the power of prayer, and the importance of purity and confession of sins for forgiveness. Because we may get down. We may be sick because of that. Now I'm talking to believers here. Because God will chastise you if you're a believer. Now, if you're a believer, you don't belong to Him anyway, and so He has no reason to chastise you because you don't belong to Him. So He's going to let you go. If you want to live the way you're living, He's going to let you live that way. He'd like to bring you that way. He may do some things to bring you back to Him. But if you keep ignoring Him and turn from Him, after a while, He just turns you loose on yourself and He lets you self-destruct. So we need to truly benefit from these words. We need to be in a right relationship with God. We need to be open to God's Word. It says in Proverbs 28:9, "He that turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." And we need to be a doer of the Word. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." It's Matthew 7:21. And so then we come to verse 19. And this is kind of a tricky section too, verse 19 and 20. But if you look at it in the context that we've been looking at all this other stuff, it's been praying for brothers. And he's been talking to brethren as we saw in verse 7. And I haven't heard him say anything else that he's talking to anybody else. You know, we said in chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, he says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your riches that are coming upon you." But then we said in verse 7 of chapter 5, he starts talking about, "Therefore be patient, brethren." And so in verse 19, what does he say? He says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So as I look at this, I have to believe that we're continuing to talk about fellow believers that have turned away from the Lord, that they have sin in their life, and they've turned away from the Lord somewhat. And God is chastising them. He's rebuking them. And he's telling us what we need to do now in chapter 19. He says that we need to turn him back. And so he says here that restoring straying saints is all of our responsibility. Do you know that as fellow brothers in Christ, we all need to turn those back. Instead of talking about the people, instead of saying, you know, look what so-and-so's doing and going to other people and whining and crying about what they're doing. The Bible has some specific things that tells us what to do. Because it says these people are in danger of death. What does it say in verse 20? He says, "He that turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So this person is in danger of death. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." But you know, many times we neglect that because we don't want to confront a brother. It's easier to talk about it behind their back and say, look what they're doing, and tell other people, let's pray for them. You know, meanwhile you're gossiping, but you're telling people, well, let's pray for them. But you're using that as an excuse to gossip about somebody. In 1 John 5:16, he says, "If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death. He will ask and He will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. So restoring saints requires special attributes. And we need to have some of those attributes. What do we have to have? We have to be patient. He says in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." We need to be spiritual. If you're unqualified, you don't even need to bother with it. We need to work on ourselves first before we can work on others. What is the passage in Matthew 7:3-5? It talks about if you see a speck in your brother's eye, before you go to him, remove the beam for your eye. Make sure you're right. Examine yourself. Make sure you're clean. If you're not clean, you can't go to somebody else and tell them about their problems. So that leads to self-examination. Because if we're not careful, we can fall into the same problem. He says, considering you also be tempted. We can be dragged in along with them if we're not careful. And we need to bear each other's burdens. And that requires time and energy. And sometimes we're not willing to give it for other people. Maybe we're not willing to spend our time trying to help others out. Maybe we're more concerned for ourselves. So that means we're not selfish either. We need to be selfless. We need to be servants of others, considering others more highly than ourselves. And we need to reach out like Jesus did and be a servant to others and try to help them out. And we need to make sure that we don't fall into the same trap. And we need humility, because we could fall in that same trap. What else do we need? We need broad knowledge of God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:2, if you want to turn there, he talks about that we need to be able to teach. We need to have the Word, and we need to be able to apply the Word to the specific situation. And he says, "And these sayings that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit to these to faithful men who will also be able to teach others also." So we need to be able to teach others. We need to be grounded in the Word. And if we don't know the Word, how can we help others? So that's another reason to be grounded in the Word. You know, because like I said a minute ago, if I get up here and teach y'all, and I'm just teaching y'all my opinions and not what the Bible says, that doesn't mean anything. But I got to have a knowledge in the Bible so I can help others. There's a lot of counseling going on today, but how much of it is biblically based counseling? How much of it comes from the Bible? Because I believe the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for everything. For correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly perfected for every good work." So the Word of God is good for everything. I think this Word is sufficient in every situation, that there's nothing that comes about in this world that God's Word doesn't have an answer for it. And so we need to be patient with others. And then if people aren't repentant, we need to deal with that too. Matthew 18:15-17 gives the church a procedure for dealing with those that don't turn back towards God. Tells them you go to them first. And if they won't listen to you, you take a brother with you. And if they won't listen to you and your brother, then you go tell it to the church. And then if the church doesn't turn them back, you treat them as a heathen and a tax collector. You treat them as an unsaved person. Because I believe a saved person will always turn back to God. But then in some cases, God has to kill them. We need to have a sincere demonstration of love for others when we rebuke them and when they repent. You know, once they've been rebuked, if they turn back, we don't need to keep on and on and on about what they've done. But we need to forgive them and love them and bring them back into the fellowship. He says in Romans 16:17, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." The work of restoring saints is tough. And it's unpleasant sometimes, but it gives you great joy when you turn somebody back. Because it comes down to this: do we really love God? If we really love God, we'll confront those that are doing wrong and claim to be brothers. And if they're not really brothers, then we need to stay away from them. But if they're brothers, we need to rebuke them and turn them back. And when they've turned back, we need to not hold those things against them, but to continue to love them. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." You know, and that's why I think this passage is talking about brethren too, because he says, if anyone wanders from the truth, you know, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. You got to have the truth before you can wander away from it. And so you got to be a brother. And it's possible for people that are brethren, or brothers in Christ, to wander away sometimes and get caught up in sin, and sometimes God has to take them out. You know, just because you're a Christian don't mean that you're past being a sinner, that you're past ever sinning again. We still struggle with sin too. Difference is we're forgiven and we confess it to God and He forgives us. But if we don't confess that sin, then we don't have a right relationship with God. He doesn't have to listen to us. And sometimes He'll take us out of this old world because we don't want to do what He wants us to do. Because when He saved me that I might be made more like Jesus Christ and that I might do good works for Him. He didn't save me to come in here and live like I used to live and go hang out the places I used to hang out and do the things I used to do. That's not why He saved me. But He saved me to make me into the image of Jesus Christ. And so today, I want to ask you, have you examined yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not? Do you know today if you died that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure today? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life." You can know that you have eternal life. The Bible's provided all the answers. But the question is, today, are you willing to turn from your sin and turn to God and ask Him to forgive you today? When Jesus died on the cross, He paid for y'all's sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. But until you ask God to forgive you, that doesn't do you any good. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't go to church and get into heaven. You can't be baptized and get into heaven. But if you depend totally and completely on the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to get you into heaven, and you ask God to forgive you because you're sorry for your sins, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, then God will save you. But that's up to you today. Are you willing to turn from your sins? Turn to God. Have you been convicted today that you're a sinner and that you desperately need God and that you can't live this life on your own and that you're not going to make it on your own because you're going to fall back in the same traps? You need God just like every one of us do. Nobody's too good that they don't need God. Nobody's too bad that they can't be saved. And so today, I ask that you would turn from your sin. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. We know who holds the future. We know what happened Tuesday. It could happen here today. We don't know what's going to happen. Life passes away like a vapor. And so we need to be ready when the day of reckoning comes, because we're going to either meet Him as Lord and Savior or we're going to meet Him as judge. So right now I'd ask that everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. Today, if you'd like to trust Jesus Christ, that you've turned from your sins today, that you've been convicted of your sins, and you believe the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus, then you ask God to forgive you today. And if you truly mean it, you're truly sincere, then God will save you. This is between you and God.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, and we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.